The Political Machinations of Hyudo Medicineless. By Rookwood. For those not fortunate enough to have received a classical education with a strong foundation of Latin, the above title may seem rather peculiar. How, in the name of all that is logical and sensible, can I tie together geopolitics with something that appears at first glance to be some form of esoteric, Japanese, holistic medicine? Please don't spoil my fun and attempt to use Google Translate to discover the rationale, for all will indeed be revealed. The mood I am in right now, if I used plain English language, this article would not just be censored, but would be considered a bigoted, undisciplined and quite possibly, illegal, rant. So I will do my best to compose myself and attempt to assemble a rational and cohesive argument that supports my case. By thinking before I type, there is a good chance with the liberal assistance of the backspace key, I can create something of literary worth. I have finally given up on this government, or indeed any government under the current two-party monopoly. I am not sure what political hue I am in reality, for I can agree with a lot of ethics that were prevalent in the old school Labour Party, some of the more sensible, traditional liberal values, and some conservative beliefs as well. Very much middle of the road, I don't believe in political excess, and my core beliefs rest upon a foundation of law and order, personal responsibility and freedom of expression. Most of the time I have had to vote not so much to support a particular party, but to prevent the other side from getting into power. I am your traditional floating voter, and despair at the lack of both a quality political opposition and a mainstream party worthy of my cross at the ballot box. On that basis, I lent the Conservatives my vote in the last election, hoping that not only would they deliver some form of Brexit, but hopefully, would actually govern, if not effectively, at least with the slightest tug of the forelock in respect to demolishing the Northern Red Wall. I was hoping against hope that maybe, just maybe, a political leader would actually keep their promises, and rule justly. Yes, I know, it was all an act, and the fact that they have effectively destroyed any benefits of Brexit with the disastrous handling of COVID-19 is a bitter pill to swallow. What has really caused my urine to boil though, for those interested, this occurs roughly at the same temperature as boiling water, is the ongoing, generational, handling of the current immigration crisis in the face of this pandemic. How can we have a medical crisis on one hand, requiring draconian legislation, but simultaneously, zero control and little effective legislation at the border? How can this government defy common sense to such a degree, while having their cake and eating it? Much is said about complying with international law and treaties, but if the political will is there, such constraints can easily be dismissed, as we know from the French approach. Like much of the malaise that has destroyed this country, we are encountering the incongruous spasm of limbs attached to a rapidly expiring body, very soon to be a corpse. For the hangman's noose has not fractured the neck, but the slow asphyxiation has caused the eyes to bulge and the tongue protrude in a ghastly fashion. The condemned is not yet dead and may still be rescued, but who will be brave enough to challenge not only the rope of the executioner, but the judge and jury as well? For long-term uncontrolled and unwelcome immigration, especially with groups that wish not to integrate, is a poison on so many levels. It is now becoming abundantly clear that the COVID-19 scamdemic, plandemic, whatever you want to call it, is in effect government-sponsored demographic reengineering, or eugenics as it was earlier known, when coupled with such lax immigration policy. I have just watched UK column, the 11th of August 2020, and a chill ran down my spine. NHS staff were called to a meeting in East Kilbride where they were told that anyone over 45 was to be as categorised DNR, do not resuscitate, and were threatened with the destruction of their careers if they dare speak out. Let us just think about this for a second. The core principle of medical care, like major demographic change, is based upon informed consent. This democratic permission has been thrown out the window like a used condom or a cigarette butt. I give not a superstar fuck if these policies were well-intentioned or malicious. It is a clear abuse of power, privilege, and a classic example of the arrogance of an over-engorged state, particularly when these sons and daughters of perdition have such unrestrained ethics that animals and children are the next port of call now that all the call girls, rent boys, and drugs no longer satisfy. But I digress. So back to the issue of immigration. When were the general public given a realistic choice as to when our borders were relaxed, or indeed ever properly policed, at the ballot box? Did we ever give our establishment informed consent for such actions? Sure, lots of nods and winks were given along the way, but ultimately immigration has always been such a hot potato it was never openly discussed in modern times, on a wide scale, until the rise of UKIP and the Brexit issue. The National Front and the BNP were historically classed as dangerous extremist organizations, conveniently forgetting that Sir Oswald Arnold Mosley was rooted in the established order of the time, the last era it was given any serious political thought. The focus in that time was on the ongoing Jewish problem, insofar as the Bolsheviks and communism were inextricably linked. Prior to 1948, or indeed the horrific consequences of Nazi rule, which we as a nation are now coming perilously close to, the scapegoat for every social malaise was placed at the feet of Jewry. The waters were further muddied by such publications as the Protocols of the Elders of Zion, which most mainstream journalists will consider a fake, ignoring the inconvenient truth that the document, once stripped of its anti-Semitic and anti-Gentile rhetoric, is the foundational blueprint for the current changes that the West is currently undergoing. If you think Rules for Radicals is a seditious document, the Protocols will blow your socks off. Remove Jewish and Goyim references and it all starts to make sense. Personally, I believe this document has multiple purposes: one to smear, one to demoralize, one to confuse, and one to give the globalists a strong political framework. What is so unique about the Protocols is that it so accurately portrays the levers of power currently being pulled. It is so telling that between the twin events of the Second World War and the establishment of the State of Israel in 1948, this document, by and large, has been conveniently forgotten. Maybe there is hope for integrating Islam into liberal society, for like the Jew, the Mohammedan is Semitic in his worldview. Let us nurture and educate the Muslim, give him a homeland, like we did in 1948, and all will be well. Also seems to go the establishment train of thought. Sadly, this forgets the historical level of distrust between two people that makes the age-old Irish problem of Protestants and Catholics look tame by comparison. I'm sure there are some really nasty Jews out there, but thankfully I haven't knowingly encountered them to date. Every contact I have had with the Jewish community has been extremely positive, and when it comes to settling debt, I could set my watch by the timing of payments by my Jewish clients, which is more than I can say for some of my English counterparts. What I found striking, though, was the fine balance that was struck between integration into British society and maintaining a strong cultural identity. The old English adage of keeping oneself to oneself is adhered to, yet the doors are wide open and welcome to any Gentile who knocks. Mutual values and beliefs are respected, while at the same time intellectual inquiry and discussion freely encouraged. Maybe all of this is down to sharing one half of the Bible. There is a Jewish dignity, wisdom, and humor I find heartwarming, as testified by my Jewish humor collection and books on Yiddish. Nothing could be further from these values when it comes down to our new demographic intake. The demonization of the Jew generally has little basis in truth other than bigotry and propaganda, and most of the UK population are appalled by such thoughts. The majority of British people have accepted the Jewish community with open arms, mainly as they have performed a difficult feat, maintaining a strong cultural individuality whilst not threatening our own. While there are extremists of all religions, it is only the Mohammedan that has repeatedly sworn to eliminate Judaism, Christianity, and the West. So now I can reveal the reason behind the title of this article. I could pretend to be confused and spin this article some other way, but I won't. Rather, I will pose a number of pertinent and penetrating questions. Of course, following the wisdom of ages that one does not pose a question unless one knows the answer. First, why is the UK determined to alienate the approximately 260,000 Jews living in England by the mass immigration, of many times that number, of individuals, who are ideologically, politically and religiously sworn to their destruction? What about our Christian population, which far exceeds that number? Secondly, is the British establishment playing with fire, and assuming in its usual arrogant fashion that if Mohammedans are given a seat at the top table, they will happily kowtow to our established order, or indeed can be politically controlled? Thirdly, why are we allowing thousands of people into our country whom we do not know their medical, pandemic alert, political or criminal histories, far less their true motives for migrating? Fourthly, where are the resources going to come from to support these vulnerable people when we clearly cannot support our own? Fifthly, whatever happens to our robust national rebuttal of extremist Islamic values, is the spirit that supported Salman Rushdie against the Islamic fatwa all but dead? And finally, since when did the UK population expressly agree to all of this wickedness at the ballot box? Hyudomedicinalis is commonly known as the medical leech. It is used to eat rotting flesh in surgical environments, and shares much in common with politicians of our age. Like the barbers of old, interesting word root there, barbaric, it was supposed to cure illness, almost always without success. Generations of our politicians seem to carry on in this vein with many such useless and damaging policies. Leeches were the cure from everything from venereal disease to migraine. Much like untrammeled immigration is considered today. The parallels from both those that participate in this travesty, and those who exploit and engage in such human misery, are obvious. If you are willing to break the law before you even reach our country, have no respect for our traditions, values or morality before you even put foot on this soil, never mind being able to speak the language effectively or offer any genuine skill other than your body, you are being used as one for political or financial gain. The group trafficking you, or indeed our establishment, does not have your best interests at heart. What hope is there for personal reform and growth when an individual bases that foundation on lies? For you are as disposable as the snot from your nose, in the opinion of our establishment, as it appears we all are, irrespective of nationality, belief or culture. It has taken multiple generations and much personal sacrifice before the Jew was ever marginally accepted here. Even now, he is still hated by many you consider your savior. And let us not forget physical slavery. Ultimately, that is the type of society you will emerge into once liberated from your dinghy or truck. Hyudomedicinalis needs to feed. Just don't argue with me, go talk to the wandering Jew. For he has indeed paid the price of individuality, belief and integration. Copyright Rookwood 2020.